This week's episode has been brought to you by the paid subscribership of Chow. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, but that's what I think it is. You too could be a paid subscriber by just going to thedadpodcast.com and clicking the $24 a year option. Thanks and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 81. I am here with, I'm going to say, new friend, Larry Garza, comedian from San Antonio, Texas. Quite possibly only next to Nolan North himself, Larry, have you and I had the hardest time sitting down to do a show.
Yeah, Justin, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on the Dad Podcast. And as a dad, you know how hard time scheduling is during the day. So,
brother, you have no idea. Because here's the thing. I was probably 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule. But the hard thing is that when all of your guests are fathers, and also the majority of them have younger children and also jobs that they must have in order to feed sandwiches to said children, it yes. becomes quite a lot of balls in the air for people to juggle and make things happen.
it was like, okay, well, I need this job to stay married, to stay with my family, to provide for my kids. But I want to get on this podcast so that I could potentially branch out more in my comedy career. And then here I am weeks later in a closet at my work pretending to have stomach problems.
Wait, are you seriously in a closet right now?
Well, I do. Okay, so for comedians that have full-time jobs, it's pretty cool to have something that's close to what you normally do, which would be some sort of a public speaking or communications job. So I have an audiovisual communications job, so I just said, hey, guys, you know, there's some equipment that needs some checking and verifying and whatnot. So I'm going to go downstairs and run a couple of diagnostic tests. So I'm downstairs in this audio room, and that's probably why I sound so clear, because I'm in this unused boardroom right now pretending to test things and press buttons so I can do this podcast.
I am unbelievably mused and at the same time feel horrible right now.
You totally should, because this isn't the first time. This isn't the first time. It's like, oh, newspaper, you want to do an interview with me for this upcoming show? Hey, guys, oh, my stomach, I'll be right back. You got to do what you got to do, man. And you know what's funny is I probably could have said, hey, I have a really good opportunity to do this interview with this newspaper. So if you don't mind just giving me a few minutes to do this. And they probably would have been okay with it. But just it's the husband, child doesn't want to get in trouble. So don't bother asking out of fear of getting told no sort of thing that's going on.
Yeah. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission is what I think how it goes.
Exactly. How clean is this podcast,
by the way? You can cuss as much as you want, as much as that closet can handle.
Okay, good. It's a lot like masturbating. As a kid, you hide from your mother and whoever else is living in your house, and it's not like you can ask permission to do it. And then when you get married, it's the same thing. You hide from your wife, you use the shower, you're like, my stomach hurts. So, yeah, doing podcasts and radio interviews is a lot like masturbating for me. I really want to do it. I just got to find the time to do it, and I'll do it as quick as I can without getting caught.
Welcome to the Metaphorical Masturbation Hour with Larry Garza. That's
with anything, you name it, car trouble, masturbation.
Well, it's funny because I think it's you've hit the nail on the head in a sense of an analogy that you that any masturbation is the equivalent to anything you want to do as a father is that you have to hide it. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've just wanted a fucking cookie, and so then I have to hide around a corner and devour it to like cookie monster before my children come around the corner and realize I'm not watching them or whatever.
And And people wonder why dads gain weight. It's because we only eat sweets after 9 p.m. or whatever the kids go to bed and then immediately go to sleep because we're tired. We don't let our metabolism do its work. We can't have a cookie at 2 in the afternoon and then work it off. No, we have a cookie at 10:30 at night and then fall asleep.
That's so true. So true. Or chips. Those are my, anytime I want a Dorito, I have to hide in like a corner of my kitchen.
Like, Doritos or Cheetos especially. Like,
oh, Cheetos.
I have been the garbage disposal of my house for the longest time and have eaten all of the chips and cereals and candies that my kids have wanted to try that they've ended up not liking.
Yes. That's so an uncelebrated role of the father is the garbage disposal, which I think mostly because it's the biggest reason it's uncelebrated is because we just do it for fear that we're most of the time we're paying for it. And
yes.
We just see it going into the trash and it bothers us.
Oh, and then if any dad has grown up poor and you don't want your kids to experience what it's like to eat mustard sandwiches or whatever, but you did, and you still have that mentality that food being wasted is money being wasted. And so you're like, crap, I got to eat everyone's leftovers because there's kids starving in China, but you're not going to tell your kids that, so you just end up eating their plates. Maybe that's just me.
Nope, you're already a better father than me, because when I heard you say, for any kid, dad who grew up poor but doesn't want their kids to experience, the first thing I thought of was like, no, I wish my children were more poor. I feel like it would make I feel like it would make them better people. In fact, the more I just see them, like we went to go see the Lego movie, which
was
I tried.
It awesome?
Oh my gosh. I cannot sing enough praises, and I think that it's going to be overblown by most people because I know that the word is spreading fast, but if there ever was a movie that in my opinion was made for parents that kids can watch, it is this movie. It's not like Pixar does a really good job of making a kids movie that is well made. The Lego movie is made for adults and tricks children into watching it, as opposed to most of the entertainment we partake in, is that it is made for the children, and then there's like these little moments, little nuggets that are in there just for the parents to go, oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, like Shrek.
Yes, exactly. Like Shrek, where there's these little inside jokes that the kids don't get, but you get. No, this is, in my opinion, and I look forward to your letters of disagreeing, but I think I'm going to get nothing but emails of people saying, yep, I couldn't agree more. It is a movie made for anybody who is over the age of 30, and your kids will sit there and watch it with you.
See, that's how I feel about the Despicable Me franchise. Oh. I think that those were just comedies made for adults, made for dads mostly.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then they threw in, just because it's animated, and threw little things like that so kids can relate to it. But what it is, it's a father's story on trying to be tough and mean, but still being a father to girls, essentially, which is what I deal with every day. I have a 8-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son. So,
oh, you have one of each.
I have one of each, so I'm dealing with both.
All right,
let's
get through this so we could get to, because anytime for some reason, I do not seem to know that many dads that have daughters. So, but my point was, after the Lego movie happened, it took all of an hour and a half after we had seen the movie in the movie theater before I was at Toys R Us and dropping $100 on Legos, maybe? Like,
wow.
And yeah, and if you've seen the movie, you'll know why. I don't want to ruin anything. But anyway, there's a reason why. And then I came home and I was building Legos with my son and it was cool. Now, for me, I was like, okay, I'll build the toy because we got the license like Superman and we got a Batman set, right? So
right.
We built the toy the way it was supposed to be built. And then I was hoping my son would play with it for a little while. And then I bought a tub to keep them all in. If anybody decides to do this, I highly recommend getting a tub. And then he could build what he wants. And I was so thankful because he actually he took apart like a Bat motorcycle and made it his own way. And
nice.
I was like, oh, good, good. Then this, because that's what I wanted. I wanted you to build a toy, play with it, but then now use Legos in the way that you and I grew up with Legos being. And so now, so that lasted all of a day. And now there are $100 worth of Legos sitting in a bin. And he moved on to monster trucks and wearing his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles costume. And I just sit here. And I look around. He's 5. And I look around and I just feel, I know it's not. I know I am not wealthy by any standards, but I don't know if it's because China makes everything now, but I feel like all of our kids are growing up as silver spoons. You know what I mean? We're all.
Yes.
If you, it would really, if you wanted to drop $300, you could have a train that your child could ride around your house in. Like, yep. Maybe not have like little tunnels to go through your, you know, 3,000 square foot palatial estate, but. You could easily build a train that goes in a little circle in your 700 square foot apartment and then take it down and put it in the closet. You know what I mean? Like,
right. No, they're making a lot of things really easily available, but also easily breakable. That's my problem with Legos. It's like, yes. Buy this thing that will definitely break. There is no, there, you know, they say there's only two guarantees is death and taxes. There's three: death, taxes, and Legos breaking.
Because that's what
they're made to do.
Their catchphrase was the toy that doesn't break because you just put it back together.
Yeah, oh no, that means it's broken. If you have to put it back together, it means it's broken in the sense that the pieces don't break.
Yes.
But it's like a house. If a house was to fall down, there's all the bricks and mortar and drywall there. Is the house broken down? No, you just have to put it back together. It's a crock of shit. It's broke. You buy your kid the Iron Man flying thing or the Batmobile, and then he plays with it like a regular car, and it shatters. That's broken to me.
Then you could throw it away or recycle it. Whereas if it's the Lego Iron Man car and it shatters, then they need to bring you in as the foreman or engineer to reconstruct it. So really what you're purchasing is hours and hours of homework for you as a parent.
I took my son to the Lego store literally yesterday because, you know, we're not rich by any means, but right now we are because of income tax. So we're like, sure, supersize it. Go right ahead. You want that $6 gun? Go for it, buddy. Right. You're good at school this week. See, Daddy does, you know, reward you for good behavior.
You're spring rich.
Yeah, I am spring rich right now. And so we go to the Lego store. Did I buy anything? No, because I know that the spring rich is just a seasonal thing. But my son's birthday is at the end of March. So what that did is it made me kind of see what he likes, what he's into, because for Christmas, someone bought him a Lego set that, you know, was predispositioned for. It was a weird, like, kind of knockoff Lego, like whatever they're called, Egos.
Mega Blocks, I think, is the knockoff brand.
Yeah. And it was like this soldier. It was, you know what it was? Border Patrol. It was a Border Patrol Lego set. I mean, it said something else, but there was a fence. They had little security guard green outfits, and I said, I'm not comfortable with this. and a little car, and I sat there and I made it. It took me forever. But when we went to the Lego store, they have those bins that the kids could just play with, and he goes, look, Dad, I made a plane. And it was like maybe four pieces. And he made a plane, a little chair, sat the guy in it, and just went bananas. And I said, awesome. Random pieces, $34. I'll take you.
Yes, yes. And I wish – it's funny because I don't even think you can purchase random set of buildable, like, blocks. You have to buy the licensed toy.
Oh, no. I asked. I'm king of it doesn't hurt to ask. So I asked the guy, I go, do you guys even have just a box full of random stuff? He goes, yes, sir, $34. And it was hidden in the back. In this corner. But 650 pieces, man.
Really?
There it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet. So at the Lego store, I bet they have that. But at Toys R Us, I'll ask.
Ah, touche.
I will ask. But at Toys R Us, I don't know where the nearest Lego store is to me here in Burbank.
Oh, I'm sure there's one around. Burbank? Oh, man. Yeah, positive. I bet you have a Lego store made out of Legos.
On some TV lot somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, Did you play with Legos as a kid?
I did. What I had is the traditional hand-me-down Legos. So these were Legos that were left over from, I think, my parents, who got him from his grandfather who fought in the Civil War or something along those lines. Like,
so you got splinters.
Yes, exactly. They were whittled out of wood. And so there was really nothing that could be built except for structural things of, like, houses and stuff. And
sure.
We also had the generational Duplos that somebody had to have purchased at a garage sale. I don't know how these people are still in business to this day with the way that that used to be handled, but yeah, that's what I had to play with.
See, I had a box of Legos, like a box of just random ones, and then an aunt or uncle bought me a you know those long race cars that have the parachutes to stop them from going fast. It was really loud. I don't know what they're called.
Funny cars, I think, is what they're called.
So I got one of those, and I was so excited. It had a gas station and everything. So, you know, it's kind of set your standards low, kid. You know, you're going to work at a gas station one day. Like, all right, let me build it.
I'm going to drive the car. Nope. why the gas station is here, Larry. That's why we have
If you want to be anywhere close to these really expensive cars, learn how to pump gas, son. And I said, thanks, aunt and uncle, for believing in me. And so I built it, and my cousin, and it was one of those things that I was trying to figure out if I could buy some sort of wax or glue or something so it wouldn't break. Uh-huh. This is the thing that breaks my heart about Legos is because I took a long time. I made it myself. See, I didn't have a dad growing up, so all that sort of stuff that we do as fathers, I didn't have that. I had to figure that sort of shit out. That's why I run like a girl. And so I built this thing. And then my cousin comes over and decides to play Godzilla. And so he Godzilla'd my room, trampled my gas station, and shattered all my cars. And I went, all right, I'm never working at a gas station and because I'm never rebuilding that shit.
I fucking hate cousins. I hate them.
Because those weren't his toys. Like, he gave a shit.
No, yeah, of course. I had cousins, not necessarily toy-destroying cousins. I had annoying cousins, but I had a neighbor that did that. He was an older kid that would come over and he would just destroy my toys. And my dad pointed out to me that he goes, you like playing with that kid? And I was like, yeah. He goes, why? I go, it's fun. And he goes, you realize he's just coming over and destroying your toys, right? And I went, no. And then I had this moment, like, seven, going, oh, yeah, hey, wait a minute.
Hey, yeah, fuck that guy.
And then I was like, no, Dad, he's my friend, you know. And then he wanted to tie my G.I. Joes to a fishing line and then cast it down the street. And I go, or we could just play G.I. Joes. How about that? And he's like, nah, that's not fun. I go, well, it's going to break my G.I. Joes. I want to play that. And he's like, okay, see you later. And he left. And I was like,
what a dick.
Yeah, my dad was right.
Why didn't you say, why don't we use your G.I. Joes? Because he probably would have started crying because he didn't have G.I. Joes. He probably had American soldiers or whatever they were called.
He had Border Patrol is what he had.
But yeah, he had Border Patrol. Those guys don't go far in a fishing line. Well, they would. They weigh a little bit more than G.I. Joe.
Man, Minutemen taking a lot of hard hits on this episode.
Yeah, you hear that? Larry Garza. That's right. Mexican. Let us in. We'll build your kids' Legos for you on time and under budget.
I love it. All right, let's talk about you having daughters or a daughter at all, actually.
Daughter.
So now you, because you are really the expert, because you had your daughter first, and now you have the son coming along behind you. My latest experience is that when my wife and I go on a walk, I notice that they have to have sticks, and there's banging on trees and ripping bark off and things like that.
And everything's an airplane.
Yes, and a gun. Yeah.
Airplanes and guns, it's everything. So a stick, a remote, a shoe, a napkin, a fork is an airplane. Instantly.
So take me back. When you find out you're having a daughter, what goes through your head?
Okay, are we serious conversation?
But either way, I don't care. However you want to take it,
I was really anti dad when my wife got pregnant. Like for my father, I just hated the guy. We're good now. So at the time, I didn't want a son because I didn't want the name to carry on. And that's how deep it was.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I had grandma, I had mom, two sisters. All aunts, my uncles were there, but they worked and stuff. All my aunts raised me. All my cousins were pretty much female except for Godzilla. And so my younger cousins and I had two nieces, I helped raise them. So I had all this experience with girls. So I was totally excited and happy that I was going to have a little girl because I was good with it. There wasn't any anger towards it. It wouldn't be weird for me to, you know, coddle her. You know, and hug and kiss and smooch on her.
Yeah.
Whereas if I had a son, I'd be like, how old is too old for me to be doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and so when I had a daughter, it was a little bit of a relief. I'll be completely honest with you.
It would have been business as normal for you.
Yeah, exactly. I was used to it. You know, I had a goddaughter that had hand-me-downs and Halloween costumes and stuff. So I was good to go.
Nice.
Yeah. So I didn't freak out. Of course, there's the whole shotgun thing and overprotectiveness that I'm dealing with now because she's eight. Dude, it starts early, man.
Really?
Oh God, there's this little boy a couple years ago that brought her chocolates on Valentine's. I'd say, yeah, last year. Like chocolates, a
And
box of
you
chocolates.
don't look at that and go, "That's adorable." You look at that and
That
go, "Back the
piece of
fuck off."
shit ought to fucking drop kick him.
Really? You know what? Yeah, you're right. He doesn't have a job. What the fuck is he gonna do? How's he gonna take care of somebody?
That's overblown because the flip of it is, what if my son wanted to give a girl,
Right.
a
Well,
box
that's
of
I
chocolates?
as the guy who so my son is very affectionate. Both of my sons. So my older son, Jacob, has in his preschool years has mostly played with girls. He doesn't really play with the
Right.
boys, which is kind of like how I was when I was a kid.
Right, yeah, just playing jump rope with the girls and Barbie dolls, and
Yeah, I was.
when they were like, "Let's play football," you're like, "Ew, yucky." Yeah,
Yeah,
no, I knew guys like you.
pretty much like I knew guys like you, you asshole. Never thought they'd be able to have children, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm very good friends with them.
I go out with them as a wingman every now and then.
Yeah, I accept their lifestyle. That's cool.
Was more verbal as a kid, much like my sons were, and
Right.
evidently verbal means feminine.
Yeah, right.
So,
Got feminine.
but anyway, I grew by the time I got into like fourth grade, I actually started playing flag football and stuff like that. But
Yeah, your voice got deeper.
my balls descended, and but no, my son has always played with girls, and then my younger son also plays with girls, but. There's an added level to it where he tells them that they're beautiful and he
Yep.
likes to touch their hair
And their cheeks.
and their cheeks
Yeah, that's my
and he
son,
wants
yeah.
to hug them and kiss them. And so I thought, like, the teachers laugh it off and they're like, it's so cute. And like, one of them said, I don't know what movies you're, this is what I love. The teachers at the school said, I don't know what movies you're letting Jack watch at home, but he was sitting at the lunch table with this girl. I can't remember. I think her name is Sophia. But I might be thinking of that princess on Disney. Anyway, what I do
Sure.
know is I later found out that I don't know if you remember that show Blue's Clues, when they
Yeah.
switch from Steve to Joe. So Joe's kids go to my kid's preschool. He
Oh,
recent, yeah,
wow.
he recently moved out to the West Coast, and so evidently my son moved his daughter's like hair. And I'm glad it was him because at least it's a showbiz dad and not some plumber who's gonna, shove some copper wife up,
He's
copper pipe up my ass.
gonna sick Blue on your son.
Yeah,
He's gonna go,
exactly.
"Get him, Blue!" And
I
Blue's
could
gonna freaking be Cujo. So I'd watch your back, dude, if you're in front of a green screen with
kick the
Jack.
shit out of that blue dog in a heartbeat. What I can't
Gotta knock
do
Clifford.
is I can't take a inch and a half pipe snake up my ass is what I can't take from a plumber dad. But anyway, so
Well, that's to be debated. You just told me you were into
that's
jump rope.
true. Well, I, not since at grade school have I been able to
God.
take
Oh,
something that large.
Lord.
So, are we getting dirty enough for you? Anyway.
It's a different podcast, man. If you started breaking down and crying, and I never told anybody that, I'm like, oh, Justin, are you okay?
I wish you weren't in Texas so I could have a human person to hold my hand. So insensitive. But anyway, my son moved her beautiful blonde hair over her ear, like it was hanging by her face, and then put his hand on her cheek and goes, so beautiful. And the
Like a
teacher,
Mac. That's a
yeah.
Mac move right there.
That's what I'm saying. And the girls, because they're so young, they're completely oblivious to it. But he is like a Pepe Le Pew, and
Yeah.
like literally, because he's still wearing diapers. And so he's working his magic around all these girls. And I think it's funny, but at the same time, I know because I've talked to guys that have daughters that I wonder if they're like, hey man, give me a few years.
You know what?
Like.
It depends on the parent. I'm not. I'm. That's not even a joke. Like if the parents are like inappropriate and the type of parents that think a toddler twerking is cute,
Yeah.
then I would have a problem with that. But if the parents are like, "I'm so sorry," his mother and him are very affectionate, so it's just the way that he shows girls that he's affectionate. I would be okay with it. It's better that for him to do that than hit her and pull her hair like other kids, because my son's the same way. Like I've taught him to be very affectionate with his sister and his mom, and so he knows how to make girls blush, and he knows, and he has hazel eyes, and his mom
Oh,
like, show me your pretty eyes, and so he knows
and that olive
his
Hispanic
attribute.
skin, it's over.
Yeah. No, he's my little white boy. He's really light complected. And
Oh,
so,
if he would just would have had the dark though, the dark Mexican skin with those
yeah,
hazel eyes, he
then
would have
yeah,
so many chicks on lockdown. It would be done.
exactly. Pumping gas.
But pulling tail like a long haul trucker. I don't know. I don't think.
So pull, but he, so okay, this one time we go to, he did it to the girls in his preschool and everything too, just like your son, but. One time we went grocery shopping and his shoe fell off. And this little, cute, co-ed cashier runs around, grabs his shoe, and brings it to him. She's like, hey, buddy, you forgot your shoe. And when she gives it to him, he grabs her hand, pets it, and goes, thank you, my princess.
What?
Yeah. And this 20-something-year-old girl blushed like if he was like Justin Timberlake or something.
And
And she
just
was like, you're welcome. And like, and she was a cute. I was like, dude, what the? And then of
how
course,
old was he?
my wife, he's three.
Yeah. And he made her splash down in her panties right then and there.
Jesus, yeah. Can you imagine? Yeah, and he's got this little girlfriend who's a model, and like, yeah, man. And I'm like, where were you when I was 14? Where was all this confidence that I've given you genetically for me when I was so? I'm trying to make sure he's still a confident guy. He still dances when there's dancing going. I don't ever want him to be shy around dancing because all the guys that danced got girls. So that's, but with my daughter, opposite. Any little boy comes to him, I'm like, listen, let me talk to your dad, you piece of shit.
Have
Double
you?
standard. I fully wear the double standard
I
flag. I
think
wave
it's fair. I think it's
the
a part of just the wiring and why fight it. But I'm
flag.
just curious, have you had an interaction? Like, I know
Yeah.
that you really don't go up to a dad and say, hey, I need your son to stop. But I mean, like, I know
Well,
that
no.
you're kind of friendly with people that are in their class. You understand what I'm
Of
saying?
course. Yeah, totally. The daycare is actually at my work, so I can get too thuggish with the parents because they're also my coworkers.
Okay.
I work at this big call center, and there was this little how can I word this without pissing myself off? But there was a little friendship that was between my daughter and this little boy for her basic whole little 4-year stint at the daycare here. And I knew, luckily, it was his mom. The boy had a mom that worked here as opposed to a dad, so it became this cute little. They were this little couple thing because they were really close and friends, and they said they were best friends. He would like give her little extra snacks, and she would, kind of blush at him. And when he would be like mean to her because he's still a boy, he would go up to her and grab her by the hand. It's what the teachers tell me and say, I'm sorry for being mean to you. And then give her this like hug and then let her go. And so the teachers developed this little fake drama. Like the hills on MTV between the two of them. And everything was cute. And I just kind of, it bothered me, but not to the point where it pissed me off. And, I would get teased about it, like, oh God, here we go again. But the thing that actually did get me mad was it was their last day in class together. And before they got transferred to whatever transitional pre-K class they were doing, and they had just finished playing outside. And my daughter was sweaty. And this little boy, had a close-shaved haircut, so he just wipes the sweat off his brow, and he looks fine. And they took a picture together, but he has his hand on her stomach, and she still had a little, baby pudge, and she was all sweaty, and he looked all nice with his fucking gold chain. And they take a picture, and it looks like, he's happy that she's expecting, and she's all sweaty and gross from fucking lugging around his bastard child. So it was the worst experience of my life to see this picture. And she was like 4 or 5.
That imagery, like I imagine him in like a muscle shirt with his gold chain or
Oh,
some reason,
God, dude. No, he's a cute boy. I mean, his mom takes really good care of him. So he wears like nice button-up shirts And yeah, he's got little wife beaters underneath and his gold chain that his dad got him.
Is he one of those kids that wears like a Kango hat all the time with his curly locks underneath?
No, he's a friend and he's a good boy. It was just that picture, and me and this other dad was like, that fucking gold chain. We used to joke around with each other.
No, I agree, and I like those moments where you can. It's like, what is that movie? The dinner with Paul Rudd and Steve Carell, where
dinner with schmucks.
Yes, where they arrange mice in like real life situations. You know what I mean? And dress them up.
Exactly.
And stuff. It's like that. You arrange a toddler and you make it like look like they're taking an American Gothic-esque photo. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like they're all sitting at the Thanksgiving dinner, and it's that. Oh God, I'm going to seem so uneducated. Norman Rockwell painting.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Well, what else? Like, so, what are the differences between your boy and your girl? Although it sounds like, by the way that your son is that is he just as verbal, or is he more like caveman-esque in his upbringing?
I grew up with older sisters and he grew up with older sisters, so I can relate to him a lot. There's a lot of things that he gets and he understands from living with, you know, a mom and an older sister. But luckily I'm there to kind of even him out and give him all my old toys and stuff like that. But yeah, he's still like, there's this boy band my daughter likes called Big Time Rush. So he knows Big Time Rush. And just like me growing up, I was lucky enough for my sister to really be into heavy metal and wrestling. I was very lucky in that regard. But I also knew who Billy Worth from The Lost Boys was because she had a big crush on him. And Kerry Von Erich, who's this Texas wrestler who she had a big crush on. So I knew everything about them. But with Gunner, he's learning all this Monster High stuff, which are, you know, basically goth or horror movie Barbies. Literally, they're Mattel, they're Barbies.
Yeah.
And he's knowing who they are. He's learning all of her TV shows. But as a good big brother, he's rolling his eyes and he's saying, I hate that stuff.
But he's aware of it.
But he's aware of it and he knows what it is. The hand-me-downs, they're there. If there is like unisex sweaters and unisex furniture and stuff that he gets, and so it's not really there, but at the same time he'll rock a Tinkerbell wing.
Yes.
Both he'll throw that on there with a, and he'll carry a sword and he'll say, I'm a ninja fairy.
I love it.
And I'm like, yeah, but see, also if he's very masculine, but if he wasn't, I would be okay with it. Like if he was playing, you know, hopscotch and double dutch with girls and doing all that, I'd be fine with it. So he could have been a gay kid and I would have been fine, but no, he's Mr. Macho hitting on chicks at the grocery store, making them blush, getting them all.
Yeah, I just feel like your son sounds like a genetically engineered poonhound. I got to be honest. Like,
yeah,
I just
feel like he loves the ladies, dude.
He is a he's like a pussy super soldier. Like,
he's Dolph Lundgren and Universal Soldier,
right, yes.
with pussy.
Yes,
that's hilarious.
That he could, like, he sees them walking by, and like we would see a HUD display of his little readouts as he's scanning their body parts, you know, like
DTF, prude.
Seeing like their what insecurities he would have to build up in order to like strike the best, you know what I mean?
Like oh wow, you look really skinny in that outfit,
right?
Like,
exactly.
And then like, oh, I care about your personality, not your big tits.
Exactly. Yeah, like he's big chest with vertical stripes, and that's what he knows. Like it, his computer like brain calculates into to say exactly what you just said.
Well, you know what? If just like if he was to take Taekwondo lessons, as long as he can teach his dad a thing or two,
yeah,
then I'm totally cool.
That's what I love about your thing, is like, where was this? Like, I like the idea of you inventing a time machine, not for you to go back, but to send your son back to talk to you at 14. Yeah.
Ever seen Meet the Robinsons?
Oh yes.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Go pick up childhood Larry, bring him back and say, look dad, you know what, nobody cares, you know, if your shirt's tucked in or not. It really doesn't matter. Just be comfortable. And you know what? If you can't dance, don't dance. Don't go to dances. I can dance, and I regret being a wallflower. It's one of my biggest regrets.
Oh, really? From when you were young?
Yeah, in high school, like, dude, all the dudes would go out in the dance floor in the dark, finger chicks like crazy while I'm sitting in the bleachers.
Waiting for your time at the plate.
Yeah, exactly. With dry hands.
With dry hands, just not an ounce of moisture. As if their hands were eating up so much of the moisture that yours became more dehydrated.
Exactly. All these guys had California raisin fingers, and mine were cracked.
I know, but it's enjoyable. Yours are all perfectly manicured too, ready for any moment that could possibly come up.
Girl passed by like, I cut my nails today. Like, no hang nails, no nothing, I promise.
I don't even chew them, so that makes them non-serrated. I'm just
no calluses, nothing. And look how long I have Arsenio Hall fingers.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that is so funny. All right. Well, is there anything else, like, daughter wise that I always like to mine this because it's so, to me, it's so foreign to my world.
You're never going to have to deal with the girl problems. And I don't mean just emotional girl problems. I don't mind talking to my daughter about, you know, the popular, you know, girls don't like me, or this little boy likes me and I don't like him back, and all that sort of stuff. I can have those conversations maturely and build confidence. It's when you need training bras or, you know, all that sort of stuff, which unfortunately is already happening at 8 years old. And thankful to God, I didn't separate from my wife so she can handle all that. Because if I was a single dad and she came up to me with, you know, my shirt's not fitting right or something, I would faint. I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched that show, The Goldbergs, on ABC, but I think it's a
I haven't.
It's a pretty funny sitcom, but they had a storyline where the dad needed to go spend a day because the teenage daughter was getting money from him every time she had to do was say she had female problems, and he'd go, ugh, and he'd like hold his wallet open and let her take whatever money she needed just so he didn't have to hear about it. And it's easy for me to say having sons, but I was just sitting there listening to that going, you know, I wonder, like, if today's dads, I feel like they would, like, what is it though? Like, what is it about that that just makes you feel skeeved out?
You don't want to invade her privacy.
Uh-huh.
Right? There's that. And there's also the uncomfortableness of talking about your daughter's privates. You don't want to think about that. You don't want to think about her menstruating in order to, you know, reproduce. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't want to see anything like that. You don't want to correlate the two, because you know who else has a monthly cycle? Your wife.
So you want to – what it is you want to hold on. You want to hold on to the little girl.
Not just holding on to the little girl, but also, you know what? I don't want to know about your privates. I don't know about your boobs. I don't want to know about any of that stuff. Like, even with my sisters and my nieces, it grosses you out. Do you have any sisters or nieces or anything?
They're all older. My sister was like 18. She's my stepsister, so she was like 18 when my parents got together.
Right.
And it's a weird thing where I think it's because she's my stepsister, but like even that stuff doesn't even like creep me out. Like I remember she would have boyfriends over and stuff, but my family was a little crazy open to about the, you know, sex stuff and all that stuff. That was
it's just like, how would you feel if your mom, you know, talked to you about her cycle?
Yeah, that might also be a bad example. I mean, here's the thing. My real mom, so my stepmom, like, we had crazy conversations about that kind of stuff with my stepmom and stuff. They were always, like, the story that I always kind of tell as a nutshell of what it was like is one time, I think I was, like, 10, and we were getting ready to go on, like, a trip to the lake, and I told my parents, I go, I heard you guys having sex last night. And my mom jokingly said, she jokingly said, well, how do you know it was me and not your sister? Because my sister had a boyfriend that had spent the night over. And I said, because your bed creaks. You know what I mean? And then we all laugh. Like, that was our 80s sitcom moment where we would laugh and it would freeze frame. And then,
don't go breaking my heart. Yeah.
And so that it was always open. But if my real mom, and I don't know, I think that partially because everything was so open and there wasn't, like, when I talked to my therapist about that kind of stuff, I know that's a funny transition, but
yeah, everything was fine and normal. But when I talked to my therapist about it,
he disagreed, which he did. He was like, he goes, that's a little bit of a boundaries issue. And I decided to take it as, well, because that wasn't the reason I was going to see him. Like, I was going to see him because I felt like I had unresolved issues from my own childhood, which were causing me to put a lot of pressure on myself as a father. And I was freaking out about raising my own kids. So I'm like, well, let's resolve these issues so that I don't accidentally lay them on my children. But and so this was towards the end of our run, and I had brought it. He'd asked me some other questions about stuff that was going on in my life, and so I was just kind of like, I was like, well, there's this and this and this. It wasn't even bothering me stuff. It was just like, well, we have an hour to kill now, and so
yeah. So anyway, So I heard my dad screwing my stepmom. I called him out on it, and she's like, "How do you know it was me? It was your sister."
Yeah.
And because I was like, "I've seen my sister." Exactly.
And he was like,
there's some problems there.
Exactly. So that's why it wouldn't really creep me out. But I can at least wrap my mind around the idea of it being like a daughter. Potentially I could sit there and I could see that. But here's the thing. I couldn't see myself being worried about like the training bras and stuff like that. Because I feel like even if I was a single dad, I would feel like, well, I'm the one who's got to figure it out. And if
it's all internal, by the way. I don't mean to cut
you
off.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, because I'm not going to make her feel uncomfortable in any way.
Right.
Like, if she came up to me and asked me because mommy wasn't around, I would try my best to answer with a straight face. I don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, it's a preferential thing. But yeah, as a father, you just brush that sort of stuff off and deal with it later. And, you know, you don't do the 80s, oh, gross. Like, you know, if she was to ask me to go buy her, like, pads or something, I'd be like, sure, what kind do you need? And make it like it's not even a big thing.
Yeah.
You know.
And try and pass it. And that's what I guess is that it would be the unknown, is that I wouldn't even know the first thing about a training bra. To me, I don't even understand why it's important. Like, I don't.
No idea.
Right.
Like, she has them, and my daughter's always been modest, and she was a little baby. She's always been really modest, so she tries to hide them when, you know, we're doing laundry and stuff, and she'll see them, and she'll take them, and she'll put them in her room and stuff. And so I try real hard not to embarrass her, because God only knows what kind of complex I would give her if I teased her about that sort of stuff.
Yeah. But
I'm very protective over her and her feelings and stuff. And, you know, that may have been a negative because, you know, she's really sensitive. But what woman isn't, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the interesting. I was looking back at an email that a listener, Trevor, sent us. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this because he said, let me just read through the email real quick. He said, so I've got two daughters. My oldest, Lily, starts learning to drive next month. Both girls are straight A students. Your last show talked a lot about how difficult it is for fathers of daughters. I couldn't agree more. Two things. One, I am the only testosterone driven person in the family. Two daughters and a wife and my mother-in-law living in the same house. Three of four going up and down with the moon. That's what I love too, is that they, like, the idea of them all like syncing up seems to be like just a male nightmare.
Poor guy.
He even said, even my dog is female.
Jeez.
But it's funny because he sent me pictures of his daughters to kind of prove his point. And so one of his daughters is very young and very sweet and innocent. And then he's got this beautiful teenage daughter she's got flowers in her hair, almost looks like she's from like the 60s and like a hippie. And so I imagine obviously I'm not looking at it going, I'm looking at it going, if I was a daughter, like had a daughter, I would easily go to where you look at them and they just look like a little girl, like a person or whatever. And then there's this, then they start to grow up and you could kind of see them becoming a woman and aging and everything. And the other dads that I've talked to that have daughters it always seemed to be like a sexually driven thing. But what I'm kind of picking up from talking to you is that it's not even necessarily just that there's an element of foreign territory, that the idea to most men, women are almost impossible to understand. We're lucky if we can land one and trick her into marrying us a lot of the time. I mean,
but it's also the sexual association that comes with all of that, because as men, we love boobs,
yep.
we love butts, we yep. love vaginas, and you know what? Your daughter has all three. And what it does is it causes karma, in the sense of, when I was, you know, growing up and I was a teenager, I would do anything to feel up a girl. I would love to be at that dance fingering some chick in the dance floor.
Yeah.
And you say these awful things, and as men, we all kind of laugh about it. But I'll tell you what, if some dude said that about my daughter, I would go ape shit. And it's totally a double standard, because I'm obviously talking about somebody's daughter.
Right.
You know, right. when I'm talking about these girls I'm referencing in high school. You know, and we can sit here and talk about our Wendy Peppercorns from Sandlot and like, oh my God, she used to tie her shoe and you could see her tits. But, and it's human nature, but I don't want to know about it. And it's karma for me being such a pervert growing up. And now I have this daughter that, you know, is already developing at 8. So God only knows what's going to happen when she's in her teens.
Yes.
And so I am not looking forward to that. And it's just a gross, gross thing to like, and it ruins you. When it ruins your libido, because if you're into brunettes and then your daughter's a brunette and you're watching porn and some girl comes out and she has a haircut similar to your daughter's,
yep.
you turn it off. You're yeah. like, I'm done. You flush the toilet and you go back to your day. You don't even fit it. Like, so yeah, that's the one thing that you're blessed with having boys. You don't,
nope.
it doesn't ruin your sex drive.
Well, you're forgetting my early elementary school years, and that and it's a reoccurring joke on the show that I have a female inside me most of the time, in that I remember there was a time after having children and as they were growing up that I would anytime I was trying to enjoy some kind of adult film while on the road, that I was like, this is somebody's daughter. Like, this is.
Yeah. But most guys think of that after they finish.
Nope, not me.
Damn
I was like, and so it took me out of the game a little bit, you know, not for too long. I'm sure that if I had a full blown daughter, then I would have to install some kind of a filter to avoid what you described.
Oh, dude. Oh,
you
know yeah. I mean? Like, but, if when my daughter joined, you know, gets to college, and there's some, you know, 22-year-old teeny bob or teeny bobber, some 22-year-old co-ed that is totally my type, totally the type of porn that I would watch.
Yeah.
And she ends up being my daughter's friend. I would probably go insane.
Well, and
because then I would associate them being the same age, and then I would kill it for me.
The hard part for you is that what I've realized is a nice, safe, and also enjoyable way is that usually the only time I partake in porn is when I'm on the road, and so. I recently had this idea that I'm going to look for things that are like my wife. Now, my wife is not. I'm sorry for laughing. No, please. It's fine. It's funny, because here's my thought process is, my wife is not the kind of chick who would ever do this or even be offended if she accidentally found something on that. But
I just thought,
oh, it's good that, you know, if she did, then it's like, oh, well, at least these are chicks. I wonder if she would even be that self-aware that she go, oh, these chicks kind of look like me. But I also found that it's much more enjoyable for me, that as opposed to it being like the 18-year-old, you know, barely legal. Like, I'm not into that.
Like that stuff.
Yeah, that's creepy to me.
It's super creepy.
I mean, everybody teach their own. But even like, I've even recently now, I'm like 35, and I'm like, college co-eds might be pushing it now even. Like, so. And that's why I kind of like settled into the MILF bracket. That's a solid bracket for me. And if I could
find... Well, what connotates a MILF nowadays, especially like in San Antonio, is the girls in the barely legal porn and the MILF porn are the same actresses. So.
It's funny because that's what I realized is that I'm noticing, because I've seen like my wife and everything, and I could tell that there are chicks on here that I'm like, okay, you're called a MILF, but you have never birthed a child. You have never, that has never happened to you.
I want to see a C-section right
next
to everything.
I want a scar just below your belly button along right the bikini there. Line. And I'm going to need a few stretchies around the love handle area. I need some realism. That's what I want.
Woman. Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you to a point.
Well, so my point was, is that, but when you have a daughter, chances are then that takes your wife, because she's going to resemble your wife in some way, shape, or form. So that then takes that whole bracket out for you. And now if your wife ever goes and does a history check on your computer, she's like, why are you doing nothing but blonde Asian porn? Like, what's going on here?
Because it's not you.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form.
My buddy Brian, he had the worst. Her name's Mikey, and it's a very unique name. And I'm very lucky for naming her, giving her a boy's name, because my wife's name Andy, girl's a boy's name, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I don't have to deal with my friend Brian, who had to deal with watching a porno and then the porn actress having his daughter's name.
Oh, yikes.
Exactly.
I don't think mentally in that quick moment you could get aside the fact that it's probably some form of a pseudonym. You know what I mean? Like, it's
no,
not.
No, fucking no, thank you. Yeah. Like, if I had some actress who, you know, hi, I'm Mikey, I would barf, I would cry, I would go to my wife, I'm so sorry, I like the porn, I'll never do it again. Like, it would probably ruin me.
I sincerely
forever.
Hope that when I do these episodes with guys with daughters, that I help the other fathers of daughters feel better. Because the way that the conversations always go, I don't feel like it helps anybody.
It calls shit out. It's funny for you to say, like, you know, oh, now I look at MILF porn and see someone close to my wife, and you get my chuckle. I'm like, that's, dude, I'm not gonna watch porn. Like, it's, you watch porn to fantasize about what you can't do. But then again, if the porn actresses don't do the shit that your wife does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like. I feel like it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing for me to all of a sudden develop an interest in that. But honestly, I'm only thinking that when you said it, it's just because, and it's going to make me sound like the biggest girl in the world, but it's just, honestly, it's because I'm that into my wife. I think that's the way I've decided.
God bless you. And you know what? This is going on record. So, of course, and does she listen to these podcasts?
No, she does not. She used to.
Interesting.
But I've said far worse things about her. It's funny. When she listened, I said horrible things about my wife and complaining and bitching and moaning. And she doesn't listen. And now all of the compliments seem to organically flow from my mouth.
Hey, Justin, you edit these, right?
No, I do not.
Oh, damn it. Okay, never mind.
What do you need? I can hit pause.
Yeah, if you can hit pause real quick.
Yeah, here, I'm going to hit pause. Okay, we're back. I'm sitting here enjoying my talk. Larry is, I think, swimming in some kind of an ice machine. I'm not sure what's happening.
Yes. Chewing ice is a sign of sexual frustration, so we're talking about porn and stuff, and I'm just chewing on ice.
But we're going to wrap it up because he's got a meeting to go to. But I want to get to this because I put this out there. You also do a podcast, which we must plug at the end. But I'm sure, as you may have realized with podcasting, you don't find out from people until a few months, because sometimes it takes many of your listeners that long to get caught up on episodes, especially when your podcast is parental oriented, such as mine. But a lot of listeners have emailed me in saying that they love this game called What the Fuck Did Jack Say? So I have some, and I'll give you, I got a little intro, so you can just listen. Let's see, here it comes. And now it's time to play What the Fuck Did Jack Just Say? Where we try to figure out what Justin's 2-year-old just f***ing said. Okay, so this is all in a category. So the category, if you could figure it out, will give you a hint, but I can't tell you the category. So here's the first thing that I want you to guess what my 2-year-old son, Jack, said. Let's see, can you hear that at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sure can.
Through? Let me try and play it again here for you. Oh my gosh, this stupid thing. There you go. Is it coming through in both of your things? Because I think I forgot to – let me fix something there.
No, I can hear it. It just goes, huh, it sounds like a Moby song.
All right. So do you have any guesses as to what is?
Oh, that's it?
That's it. It's one word.
One more time.
All right. Here it comes. Oh, wait. Hold on. Sorry.
I'm going to guess it's hair.
Hair. You are very close. It is her.
Oh, I was going to say her. I was going to say her.
It's how Nelly would say hair. Okay. Here comes the next one.
Okay. Soda.
No, hold on. Listen one more time. Oh, wait. This problem, I forgot that there's a... I'm going to do it one more time this time. I'm not going to talk over it. All right. What do you think that was?
Oh, okay. Not soda.
Nope.
Soap?
No, it is not soap. It is Nebraska.
What the fuck is he saying Nebraska for?
You ready? Here it comes. Nebraska. Now can you hear Nebraska?
Not at all. Thank you.
This is why they play the game. All right, here comes number 3. So far, you are 0 for 2, my friend.
All right. Nina.
I'm going to play it for you one more time. Oh, this stupid thing.
Hermina.
Any guesses as to what that is? I'll play it for you one more time.
Hermina.
Remember, okay, there is a category.
There is a category?
So far, the words have been her, Nebraska, and this is number three.
And Hermina.
This was Hermina? Is that what you heard?
Well, Hermina is not a word, so okay. I'm going to try to figure out. Germany?
Germany? I'm sorry to laugh at you, but that is Philomena. That is Philomena.
Oh, come on.
All right, now listen again. Philomena.
Philomena.
See, Philomena.
Totally hear it. Totally
now
hear
you
it.
Can totally hear it. All right, so here comes number four.
Mittenhassel.
All right, I'll play for you one more time.
Mittenhassel.
Nathaniel Hawthorne?
No, that was American Hustle. American Hustle.
Damn it.
Here it is one more time.
American Hustle.
See, now
got
you
it.
Can hear
yeah,
that.
Clear as day. Clear as day.
Okay.
I heard Nathaniel Hawthorne is clear as day.
Okay, here comes the next one.
Hustle.
Oh, that's a really tough one. I thought one that one, time. When I made it, I thought this one was better. Here you go.
Hustle.
Okay. Now remember, here are the previous ones. It is her, Nebraska, Philomena, American Hustle, and this one.
Hustle.
Any guesses?
Oh, God.
This is
I'm hearing Pass the Cereal.
That is Captain Phillips. Captain Phillips. Here it comes again.
Pass the Cereal.
Captain Phillips is what that one is.
What's wrong with me?
I'm realizing that this may be an unfair category for a fellow parent, but here comes the next one.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to play it for you one more time.
Samantha.
All right, one more time.
Samantha.
All right, what is that one?
Shit. Philadelphia?
At least you're getting close to the category. Yeah. That was Dallas Buyers Club.
There you go. Dallas Buyers Club.
Yes, all right. Dallas Buyers Club. All right, this one is next. Here it comes.
Oh, Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes, yes. Well yes. done, sir. Wolf of
Finally.
Wall Street.
Jesus Christ.
And last but certainly not least.
Oh,
here it comes again.
Phone slave.
Was he eating while he said that one?
No, not that's the thing. A couple of the takes that were not used, he had his fingers in his mouth. But for the sanctity of the game, the purity of the game, I have him remove his fingers from his mouth before I actually use that take.
Why, thank you. One more time.
Here it comes.
Slave.
Now remember,
12 Years a Slave.
Yes, the last two, bringing it home, Larry Garza.
Yes,
you are 2 for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You are 2 for 9.
Sweet, 25% or something like that.
And for a bonus point, do you have the category? Do you want to guess the category?
Is it Oscar?
Yes, very well done. All of the 2014 Best Picture Oscar nominees. I think I'm missing one. Isn't there supposed to be 10?
No idea.
Nah, yeah, that's what I mean. I thought, it's Oscars are coming. This will be great. And then as I was playing them for you, I'm like, no parent knows what Oscar. We've never seen an award-winning
Philomena,
film.
Nebraska, never heard of them.
Well, I was going to do
not
them
even lying.
In alphabetical order, but I thought that would give it away and make the rest of them too easy. So I played the words that they were just – so her and Nebraska seem like random words. And then Philomena, I thought nobody knows what that is. No.
Jeez. Yeah, no, I was like, okay, her. Okay, so that's just a random word that he's saying. Okay.
Yes.
And then Nebraska, there's another random word. I'm not associating him with movies. I think if he would have started with The Wolf of Wall Street, then I would have been a little bit more apt to get the category. But as far as me not being able to watch any movies ever anymore until they're on Redbox and the kids are asleep,
yes.
No idea.
All right, well, there we go. We did the show. Unless you want to take another 5 minutes to do like a moment of the week, or I don't know what your schedule is.
Yeah, moment of the week.
Let's do it. Here, I got another intro for that.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So I'll do mine real quick, and mine are pretty quick and easy. With Jack, I had a cough, and he started doing this adorable thing where he'd come up and he put his hand on me and go, "You okay, Daddy? You okay?" And I go, "Yeah, okay. Okay, good." And he'd walk away. Another side thing was when I was recording those with him this morning after he did, because I did like three categories in one sitting, and he goes, "Can I go play?" And I go, "Yeah, you can go play now. You've done your work." And then with my older one, Jacob, he lost his first tooth. I was away from home, and my wife was putting on his pajama shirt, and he had his mouth open, and he hooked his bottom front tooth and just ripped it out. He didn't cry, didn't do anything, and he had this big smile, as my wife described. He had this huge smile on his face while bleeding from his mouth.
At least that's what she told you.
Yes, exactly. She punched the shit out of that kid. but it was cute, and then we put the money in. I'll talk about this in another episode, but it was $5, and there were kids at the preschool that are getting like $10, $15, $20 for Tooth Fairy now. I'm like, man, inflation.
Tooth Fairy is going bananas. Yeah. I remember when my daughter lost a tooth recently, I didn't have any change. All I had was a 10 and or a 20, and it was her front tooth. And so my wife's like, "Look, she only has two of those." And I'm like, "Fucking $20?" I was like, "I'm gonna go put a quarter." And she's like, "You gave her a five for a molar." And I'm like, "Ah, fuck, fine." So I had to give her $20 for
it. Wow, you guys even have a tiered program based on where the tooth is located. That's impressive.
I wasn't aware of that program. I wasn't aware of it.
All right, your turn. If you want, doesn't have to be within the last week, but just a cute moment with each of your kids.
Well, this one's funny that comes from my son, and he does this often, and he has all the best intentions of the world, and it's sweet to me. But I think if someone else heard it, you would kind of turn your head, because I think it's really funny.
Okay.
He's learning what favorites are and what the best is and all that stuff, and he knows that I'm his dad, and he wants to let me know just randomly how much he appreciates me and how much he likes me. So he'll tell me, "Dad, you are my favorite dad."
Oh, that is cute.
And it's really cute, and I constantly have to tell him, "Thank you, buddy. I'm your only dad." "Yeah, and you're my favorite." So I can just imagine someone in a grocery store hearing him saying, "You're my favorite dad," and like just thinking, how many dads does this little kid have?
What a slutty mother he must have.
Exactly. Wait till you go on Maury, and then let's see how long I'll be your favorite dad.
That's crazy.
And then my daughter recently, eight years old, third grade, they're already starting dances. And so she had a Valentine's Day dance at her elementary school. I've always kind of complained that the elementary school is pretty ghetto. And the funny thing is they had a DJ from a San Antonio hip hop station do her dance, which was really funny. I'm like, this guy is a very well-known hip hop DJ in the city, and he's doing my daughter's elementary school dance. Cool. Right. So she's getting into the whole, you know, let me be popular and hang out with the girls. And I went, and like I said, I dance. And so I'm dancing, having a good time with her. So she was like, "Hold on, Dad, I got to go find my friend." She finds her friend. They start jumping around to the music, and she starts puppy dogging this small group of cool girls while I'm there holding two Gatorades, a bag of popcorn, and just kind of standing there. And she makes eye contact with me, and I just kind of give her one of those smiles, like, "Okay, have fun," while I'm sitting here. And she looks at the girls, looks at me, grabs my hand, and starts dancing. I'm like, "Baby, you can go dance with your friends." She goes, "No, you look really lonely, and I can dance with my friends anytime. It's only once a year I get to go to a dance with you."
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, that Adorable. Was awesome.
Adorable. Well, that was our show. You can send an email to the show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget, you can send in your questions for our pediatrician, Dr. J. Going to be recording with him later on this week. That you could send to questions@thedadpodcast.com. You could follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. Throw us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/dadpodcast. What else? You can follow me on Twitter @JustinWorsham. Don't forget the big thing you could do. Go to thedadpodcast.com, become a paid subscriber, $24 a year. You could change my life. If everybody who listens to this did that, this could be my gig, where you already get access to an extra episode a month. The bonus premium episode for this month is with none other than Mr. Paco Lancini, the only guest I have with an internet alias, Mr. Adam Dooley. But you could definitely do that. And I think that's it. Now, Larry, I know you have a podcast, yes?
Yes, I do. My podcast is called Public Access. That's PublicAxis, like access of evil.
Awesome.
Basically, we are San Antonio based, and anybody who comes into town, we'd like to interview them. It's a comedy podcast. So we interview comedians. We also interview filmmakers, wrestlers, anybody in the entertainment business that comes through San Antonio. We like to be the axis of all things entertainment in San Antonio. So,
and is that available on iTunes or?
Yes, it's available on iTunes. Search Public Access. Our group is called Comedia Agogo. Been around for 12 years, and it's really a lot of fun. And you don't have to be from San Antonio to enjoy it, because we've had all sorts of people. We've had Brian Callen, Rachel Feinstein, Gallagher was probably like my favorite one.
Nice.
And so, yeah, Public Access, it's a lot of fun.
Nice. And is there a website for it, or just find it in iTunes?
Yeah. You can find it on iTunes or go to comediaagogo.com. That's comediaagogo.com.
And all of that information in text form is in the description for this episode. So Sweet. That'll be there. Larry, thank you so much for doing the show. Can't thank you enough. We'll definitely do it again. I know you got a meeting to go to, so I'm going to let you go. On behalf of my new friend, Larry Garza, this is Justin Worship saying, stay frosty.